Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. One second, I just got to check some notes. I'll be back in a second. Just as I thought, I was on the wrong verse. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Inaivaham Bhagavato Vasudevasya Vedasa. Mayanubhavam Avidham Yena Gacchanti Tatpadam. By that confidential knowledge, I could easily understand, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, creator, maintainer, and annihilation of everything. By knowing that, one could return to him and personally meet him. Purport. By devotional service, or by the most confidential knowledge, one can understand very easily how the different energies of the Lord are working. One part of energy is manifesting the material world. The other superior part of his energy is manifesting the spiritual world. And the via medium energy is manifesting the living entities who are serving either of the above-mentioned energies. Living entities serving material energy are struggling hard for existence and happiness, which is presented to them as an illusion. But those in the spiritual energy are placed under the direct service of the Lord in eternal life, complete knowledge, perpetual bliss. The Lord desires, as he has directly said in the Bhagavad Gita, that all conditioned souls riding in the kingdom of material energy come back to him by giving up all engagements in the material world. This is the most confidential part of knowledge. But this can be understood only by the pure devotees. And only such devotees enter the kingdom of God to see him personally and serve him personally. Concrete example is Narada himself, who attained this stage of knowledge and bliss. And the ways and means are open to all, provided one agrees to follow the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni. According to the Shruti, the Supreme Lord has unlimited energies without effort by him. And these are described under three principal headings, as mentioned above. Om Gyanati Madandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Saksurumulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhisham Sapitam Yena Bhutale Shayamu Pakadamayam Dati Tapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Karupyascha Vipashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Sun Falls. Sorry I couldn't be with you last week. Actually, it wasn't even reception at the place that we were. We had a pretty wonderful retreat. You know that I do these bhakti immersion retreats. And, you know, generally, before I talk about the particular verse, I describe a little bit about, you know, what I'm doing in terms of sharing this kind of knowledge. And we started that Bhakti Immersion retreat because so many people, especially by Raghunath, were coming in contact with appreciating the devotees, but not really stepping forward in Krishna consciousness. They were meeting Raghunath, sometimes Raghunath Swami, sometimes me. So initially, you know, we crafted it in a way that would attract people to the retreat, which was, you know, based on, you know, a lot of yoga, but, you know, music and other things. And then because some people who were, a few people who were devotees, maybe two or three, like full came, I said, well, you know, during the yoga in the morning, I'll have Bhagavatam class, you know, from 7 to 8:30. And from 6 o'clock to 6:45, I'll be in the meditation hall chanting japa, and whoever comes, that's fine. So, to my surprise, a few people came initially. You know, a few people came, and I was pretty happy. Hey, you know, 7, 8 people came, 10 people came today, whatever, to the japa. So this year, we're having two retreats. So this was, you know, the second retreat in August is more for the people who had attended in the previous years. And so I didn't know how those classes would be attended. And, you know, so the first day, you know, I got down to the meditation center, which is beautiful. It's kind of like on a, it overlooks this really nice flowing river that then flows into a ravine. It's really little waterfalls. I mean, it couldn't be even better where it's placed. And lo and behold, by like a 5:45, already there were people there, you know, as they're up to 10:30 the night before with the kirtan. So already they're there. And at least 20. And I kind of look out, and they kind of all have bee bags. Now, I know some of them are devotees, but some of them, Nikki Lopez, or this person and that person, Michael Treadman, I didn't know that they were, I didn't even know her. I knew him. I served at the Bhakti Center. They all had bee bags. So then, because my mind, when I'm there, I'm focused there. I said, well, what if people come? There, you know, there are people here. There are people here at the retreat that I know there's at least a few that had no contact before, practically. And then so I even myself took my hand out of my bead bag and just folded my hands in case someone came in. They wouldn't, and the people did come in there. And then, you know, it was about 35 people there.
Well, every morning.
Yeah, and every morning, which, you know, I mean, with the presenters, this retreat is, we had about 50. So it was so enlivening, and you know, I like things organized because the spiritual world is organized. Krishna has Astakalila Smart. He does things at certain times. is a framework which facilitates spontaneity. Sometimes people think that we should just be spontaneous, but it becomes less spontaneous within a framework. So good management, you don't see management. So good management, you think about all the things beforehand. And you don't think of management. People have to think of management. They have to think of, things. So it was really wonderful. And again, a wide variety of people come, a wide variety of people. One guy came, had absolutely no connection, absolutely no connection. He had come because he used to go to that place, and somehow or other, the art retreat is not open to everyone, it's for our people. But somehow he contacted the person who registers people for me. Yeah, he was a New York City detective, kind of guy from Brooklyn, Charlie Bellavia. And then the vice president of the New York City subway conductors came. Oh, I know. So just a wide variety of different types of people. Of course, a lot of ladies, both genders were there. Ladies in the yoga world and people. But it was nice to see people. And I have two objectives for these type of retreats. And I spell them out. One, realization comes from absorption. That's a basic principle. Realization comes from absorption. So if you want to be in this path, you want to go further in this path, then you have to become absorbed. And sometimes you need a retreat to do so. That's also traditional. So you become absorbed. That's when you get realization. And then community. It has to be some unit that you're connected to, which is not about your self-interest. It's about your self-interest, but your self-interest comes from serving a community greater than yourself. Because that's what it means to worship God. It's not about your self-interest, but your self-interest is the interest of something else. So to experience that and develop a community. So it was really, really a wonderful. And, because I used to be a sportsman for many years, at least 10 years of my life, it was probably my main concentration. And there's a phrase in sports, you leave it all on the field. So when I get into that mood or bov of organizing things, because really I want a community and therefore I am concerned with everyone else's needs. So you have to really see there's new people that had no connection with it, And then afterwards I took the week off to recover. So. Anyway, now we're back into this Narada story, which I did speak about there. So Narada is telling about his birth. And again, his birth highlights the principle of humility and highlights the principle that actually your material situation can be a facility for cultivating humility, because the mind can follow the body, and sometimes in a very humble position, you can be humble. It can create the opposite, but anything can be used. And one reason that Krishna seems to put us in humble positions is to make us humble. So Narada was some kind of high person in his last life. I forgot the story, but he was, and somehow he was put in a humble position. Same thing with Lord Brahma. He was put into a humble position of Haridas Thakur. Because humility is everything in spiritual life. Without humility, there's no spiritual life. Humility is spiritual life. Pride is the opposite. There's no spiritual life. Spiritual life means wanting to serve. You don't want to serve if you're proud. So, and that type of consciousness of humility, not just being poor, but being dependent, and there's a difference. Because a very wealthy person can be very dependent. When I used to have a fairly close relationship with Narayan Maharaj, and respected him greatly, and I listened to very good teachings from him. And we used to go in a time where he was just a sadhu in Mathura, chanting his rounds. I mean, he wasn't an international figure. And he used to explain how when Prabhupada lived in his mutt, when Prabhupada lived in his the mutt means his temple, and Prabhupada was so poor that when Narayan Maharaj would used to come and sit with him, Prabhupada used to take a cloth and cover the bed because there were holes in the quilt. He said, but Prabhupada was always talking about the Pandavas. He was always talking about the Pandavas, how they ruled the world, but they were so dependent. Prabhupada also told a story about when he saw a hobo. You know what a hobo is? They're like bums that travel. And sometimes they're characterized by their only possessions, a little stick and a little cloth that they hang on the back of the stick. So he saw someone like that. And Prabhupada said, although he was so poor, he wasn't a Kinchana Gotra. In the line of those who are Kinchana, that have nothing. We have nothing. Everything belongs to God. We're awareness, we're consciousness, and everything else is given by God. And that, too, is God. It's part of God. So, just like Queen Kunti prays, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri Bir Eyamana Madhav Kunam Namahadyabhitaitum Vaitwamakin Chenagochila. That you can only possess God if you're not intoxicated by birth, Janma, Aishwar, opulence, Shruta, wealth, Shri Bir, aristocracy, beauty. You're not intoxicated by those things. They don't give you a sense of control and power and longing for control and power. So Narada is a great example. He was very poor, but that poverty, that humility, that dependence attracted the great souls. It's interesting. They attracted the great souls, but the great souls are impartial. Now, impartial means is not that you treat everyone the same. Impartial means you will treat everyone the same. Anyone who reciprocates with you, you'll give your love. But it doesn't mean that your heart is shared equally with everyone. And if you share your heart with people who are dependent on you, and you give your mercy to people who are dependent on you, it doesn't mean you're impartial. Because you'll do that to everyone. So sometimes people think impartial or God is merciful is that he has to give the same to everyone no matter what they do. No. God is a person. Prophet said Krishna is responsive. So he responds to our our dependence. That's the whole principle of bhakti. Tesham satatiyatanam bhajitam prithipurnadami buddhi. He gives, but to who? Tesham satatiyatanam. Those who are always engaged. Bhajitam prithipurvakam. With doing their worship with love, he gives. That doesn't make him impartial. That makes it personal. So, from that reciprocation, Narada developed faith. And I would call faith a mechanism of the mind that opens itself up to spiritual experience. Something like that. It opens itself up to spiritual experience. So when you have that kind of faith, you do get tremendous spiritual experience. And he got that experience from the from taking the prasad. And in that mood of faith, in the Mahaprasad, he became completely purified. And then by his association, you know, he became attracted to hearing. And your desire to hear is your bhakti. And bhakti sanjayate bhakti, and the more you hear and chant, the more you get the bhakti. And he got such taste, which is a fire of devotion, that, well, you know, he became transcendental to the modes of nature. The modes of nature are inspirations to enjoy in a particular way. When you develop bhakti, you transcend those desires, and you transcend the influence of those things that can create those desires. And he became so qualified that even when he was a young boy, somehow or they carefully explained to him the Bhagavatam. Now in this verse, it means what happens when you study the Bhagavatam. But what happens when you study the Bhagavatam is you understand clearly God. And understanding God means God and his energy. Because that's what God is. God is not an amorphous energy. No, it's amorphous energy. I don't know if that's a true word. It has energies. And everything is God's energies. And he has three main energies. He has a material energy, a spiritual energy, and a marginal energy. And when you understand that, then you can engage in bhakti. And if you don't understand that, you can't engage in bhakti. If you don't understand the nature of God, and therefore don't have a concept and belief in God, you really can't engage fully in bhakti. You can, and you'll become purified, but ultimately, to develop a rich, deep devotion, you have to have a really, I describe many times, a deep understanding of what your relationship is with God, which just means that a deep understanding of God and God's relationship with you and the world, and an understanding of your relationship with an understanding of your relationship with matter. All these things are important. It's called sambandhagyan, knowledge of relationship. Both knowledge of the relationship of God and his energy, so you understand God. That's where people don't understand God, where they don't understand God and his energies. Either they think that the energies of God are illusion, basically. They don't accept God and his energies. Therefore, in the Vedanta Sutra, right at the beginning, it's Jadmad Yasya Yataha. God is he whom everything else is coming. God is God has energies that needs. And Mayavad philosophy prescribes that the energies of God are illusion. And what Prabhupada and our philosophy is God has energies, and those energies coming from God do not change God. They do not diminish God, they do not fragment God, because the very definition of God is inconceivable potency. So you cannot subject God to the laws of this world. That's the laws are coming to him. He's not subjected to him. So logic is about the laws of this world. So if something's emanating from something, something becomes less. But in God, so many things emanate from him, he doesn't become less. So that's the philosophy here that's discussed. That and by knowing that, you can actually return to God and you could meet him personally. Prabhupada says the example is Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is giving his example. Now, once you have this knowledge, how do you become purified? So now that's going to be described. Etat sam suchitam brahmam tapatrayo chikitsitam yadishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bhavatam. O Brahmana Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So, purport, Sri Narada Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to hope in the path of salvation or get relief from all miseries is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. This is the only remedial process. The entire material existence is full of miseries. Foolish people have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures for removing the threefold miseries pertaining to the body and mind, pertaining to natural disturbances, and relation with other living beings. The whole world is struggling very hard to exist out of these miseries, but men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plan or remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. The remedial measure to cure a patient by medical treatment is useless if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. To cross the river or the ocean by a suitable boat is no remedial measure if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. We should know for certain the Lord is the ultimate sanctioning officer, and we must therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord for ultimate success, or to get rid of the obstacles of the path to success. The Lord is all-pervading, all-powerful, omniscient and omnipresent. He is the ultimate sanctioning agent of all good or bad effects. We should therefore learn to dedicate our activities unto the mercy of the Lord and accept him either as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It does not matter what one is. One must dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. If one is a learned scholar, scientist, philosopher, poet, etc., then he should employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Do not decry him and try to become like him or take his position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. If one is an administrator, statesman, warrior, politician, etc., then one should try to establish the Lord's supremacy and statesmanship. Fight for the cause of the Lord as Sri Arjuna did. In the beginning, Sri Arjuna, the great fighter, declined to fight. But when he was convinced by the Lord that the fighting was necessary, Sri Arjuna changed his decision and fought for his cause. Similarly, if one is a businessman, an industrialist, an agriculturist, etc., then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. Think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered to be the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayana, the husband of God, of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of Lord Narayana and be happy. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. The best thing, after all, to get relief from all material activities, engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in the case of the absence of such an opportunity, one should try to engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has a specific attraction, as that is the way of peace and prosperity. The word samsushitam in this stanza is also significant. One should not think for a moment that the realization of Narada was childish imagination only. It's not like that. It is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars, and that is the real import of the word samsthitam. So, very interesting here. So, the clear recommendation is that we have to hear about Krishna's pastime. It's the way in which we will become attracted to being who we are, which is his servant. And all Maya is caused by the fact that we're not attracted to being who we are, which is Krishna's servant. Therefore, we want to be something else. Either we want to be the enjoyer, or we want to be God, or we want to be anything but the servant of God. So we have to fall in love with God. And therefore, we have to understand how great God is, and that we actually have a God-given right and constitutional right relationship with God. So that's the philosophy that purified Narada, and he's giving it. But right here, he's saying two things. One thing he's saying is that. If you're not at that platform or you don't have the opportunity to do that, then what do? And he's also saying, here's how you apply that knowledge. Is to dedicate one's activities, which indicate, and it's the word for activities is one's karma. So it indicates one's nature. And it says whatever one is attracted to oneself, which is basically what our nature is, our desires. So you offer them in the service of God. And when you do that, you become free from misery. Because what is misery? Misery is caused by ignorance. And what's the main cause of ignorance? The main cause of ignorance is seeing God's energy as separate from God. Is not seeing this. The main cause of illusion is not seeing that everything is God's energy. And when you see it separate, then you do that because you want to enjoy separate from God and you want to have that egoistic sense of control. So, this is the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, that everything is the influence of God's energy. So how to realize that? The way to realize it is take the things you're attracted to in that spirit of enjoy separately from God and engage them in God's service. When you engage things in God's service, then you see those things as God's, and you're free from illusion. You actually see them as God's energy. So now he's saying, okay, now he heard the Bhagavatam, and now he's saying, Vyas, you have this knowledge of everything is God's energy. Now the way to realize that is act on that platform, even when you're in material consciousness. Even when you have attachments, yet Kuroshi, Ratnati, whatever you're attached to, whatever you do, you make as an offering to me. So it's decided by the learned that the best remedial measure, moving all troubles, is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the personality of Godhead Krishna. And that removes all miseries. This removes the root cause of all kleshas, of all troubles. Well, troubles are what? They're avidya, then they're raga, dvesha, right? They're attachment. Oh, there's avidya, then there's asmita, and there's raga, dvesha, and abhinava. I forgot the last one. Yeah. Abhinavesh. The last one is clean. It's ignorance, then ego. Ignorance is the general conception. Ego is the specific conception. Ignorance is on the body. Asmita is I'm this particular body. And then attachments and aversions based on that body. And then clinging to life. These are all the troubles. But the root is the avidya or ignorance. And what's the cause of the ignorance? The cause of the ignorance is the desire to enjoy separate from God and the vision that things are separate from God. So the Bhagavatam gives the knowledge that everything's connected to God, and now here's the recommendation, therefore use everything in God's service. And people are developing, as Prabhupada said in the purport, so many other remedial measures. So many other remedial measures, but they ultimately won't free one from suffering because they don't deal with the root cause, which is the ignorance. The ignorance of Krishna, the turning away from Krishna. Shad upay tasya viparyospati. Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena subrata. Taneva yamayam gavyam napunati chikitsitam. O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which is caused by the very same thing? So now he's clearing his doubts. What do you mean? Take my attachments, which is the root cause of suffering, basically your attachments, and using them will purify me. He said, well, isn't it a fact that when you get sick from eating too much milk products, that the cure is to use milk products, but in a different way, by using dahi? So in the same way, if the activities and the ego and the karma is the cause, just transform it into service to Krishna. And isn't this how someone becomes purified? So he's explaining that to him. When all a man's activities are dedicated, 34, to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. It's in the same way. Whether work is done here in this life for the whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction, the mission of the Lord, is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a commitment factor. So when you actually focus your consciousness in the right way by doing the right things, you'll actually begin to understand the right things. Because once you start engaging God's energy and God's service, then automatically you'll have knowledge, because that activity will enable you to see the energy of God for what it is. And otherwise, you'll be in ignorance. You'll see this as separate from God. You'll be in the illusion that this situation I'm in, this family is my eternal relations, you know, this identity I have is my eternal identity, this house is my eternal residence. So, but if everything is dedicated to God, then automatically you have knowledge. You'll see your house as God's energy. You'll see your kitchen as God's kitchen. You'll see the food as God's mercy. You'll see your spouse as a servant of Krishna. You'll see your children as given by God to his service. You'll see their souls and your relationships with them as parents and spouse. They'll gradually become purified. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Let me just see 1 second. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Lada Dulal, Hare Rao.
Hare Rao, I missed you last week, and I connected, but, you know, I didn't get the email that, you know, it was canceled, you know, too late.
I'm glad you didn't give up on me and that you're still here. Because that's nice. What's the question?
Today is in the verse, because I'm reading Bhagavad Gita now, and it is so connected to this Narad Muni's realization, talking to Vyasadeva. This is like, you know, in second chapter, very nice verse. Buddhi yukta jahatiyo ubeshu kride dushkide tasma yuga jesha yuga karma koshalam. And then next verse, telling, that how to get it. It means we connect to Lord, you know, to get out of this material birth, death, old age, and diseases. Karma jambuddhi yukta hi palam tekta munishina janma bandha minir mukta padam gacchati anamayam. If this knowledge, you know, that you have spoken, you know, is so pertinent, that, you know, we are always anchoring that we think this is our place of eternity, the house is ours, family is ours, everything is ours, but in reality we don't have anything. Thank you, Maharaj, for, you know.
Thank you. I love when you chant the Gita verses with that sweet, right pronunciation. Thank you, Nanda Dilo. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hare Krishna, Gail.
I just wanted to appreciate your clarity, especially today. It was so nice. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And Gail, we have to meet soon. We have to meet soon.
Okay,
maybe
Maharaj.
Next weekend, you'll probably be in Giranagari.
I'm torn between Giranagari and Joya Gauranga's wedding. I can't figure that out yet.
Although that's for the
26th of July.
But I'm talking about next weekend.
Oh, Radhanath Maharaj. I had not planned on going, but I had a plan on going, but I wasn't thinking.
Okay, well, maybe I may visit my mother at that time. Maybe we can meet at that time.
Well, I'm going to go to... Okay. Hare Krishna.
Okay, we'll talk about that. No, I think I may. I don't think I'm going to go to Gitanagari, but okay.
Oh, okay, good.
anybody else like to say hello?
Haribol Maharaj, Shastra Das.
Hey, Shastra, I've been meditating. I have to get out there sometime before I go.
Okay, Maharaj, I'm always here.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Radharani.
Radharani, hey, how do you go?
Hare Krishna.
Good. Anybody else?
Thank you, the tea here. I finally got to hear the whole class. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you, the tea. Hare Krishna. Great to hear you, too. Thank you. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. This is Henry.
Henry. Okay. We'll see you soon. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. It's people's choice. They may say hello. They may not say hello, but I know you're all there. Thank you. Panchakalpa Trubhyas Chakrabha Sindhu Bhiva Chapatitanam Abhinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo.